Now, the Ian Jessup Show.
Even though VC hydro rates have been increased in the next 5 years by more than 28%, we can expect even higher hydro rates after that. Joining us is Norm Farrell, author of the blog Insights. Norm, how are you today?
Hi, Ian. It's good to be back with you.
Now, on your website, you have some statistics referencing the amount of power BC Hydro has purchased from independent power producers and the amount of power it sold to large industrial customers. Take us through that and what that means.
The statistics that I've quoted are from annual reports of BC Hydro, along with the first quarter report for the current fiscal year. And what I discovered in fiscal 2015, BC Hydro purchased almost 14,000 gigawatts of electricity from independent power producers, and they paid over $1 billion for that. They sold about the same amount, 14,000 gigawatt hours, to large industrial users, and they realized $748 million. So that by itself seems like a loss of $350 million. But in fact, there's probably another $500 million in distribution costs. And so I think it's fairly safe to say that BC Hydro lost close to $1 billion on reselling the independent power producers' output.
So, Norm,
in a single year.
I guess the question that listeners are probably asking, and why did we buy the power for over $1 billion and sell it for $350 million less?
It's a political choice. Residential users don't get subsidized. BC Hydro has been giving the lowest rates to the large industrial users, and there's some argument for that if it's creating jobs and so on, but it's a hidden subsidy to industry that ought to be, I think, further examined. BC Hydro sells electricity to residences, commercial, and industrial operations, and over the course of the last decade or so, that demand has been flat, and yet it substantially increased the amount of independent power generated, and that comes at a cost of power that was previously generated by public facilities.
Mm-hmm. So demand is flat, but we're buying more power from independent power producers at a higher price, but we're producing less cheaper power. Do I have that right?
That's correct. The old public facilities are by far the cheapest source of power, and that's traditionally been in the 2 to 3 cent per kilowatt hour price range, and we're typically paying eight cents or so per kilowatt hour to the private power producers. But there are additional contracts coming on stream, and some of them, I think, go as high as 13 cents per kilowatt hour. And that's substantially above even the residential rate. So new power that's entering the system is coming on at prices more than the highest price paid by BC Hydro's customers.
Mm. So we are contractually obligated, and I say by we, meaning the taxpayers of British Columbia, are contractually obligated to buy power from these independent power producers at a very high price, because that's the policy that was instituted by the Liberal government.
It's a strange reworking of the concept of free enterprise, isn't it? The BC Liberals, who claim to be the party of free enterprise, decided they wanted to protect the private power producers from having to go to the market themselves, which is the case in every other situation. If you and I were to manufacture some product, we can't go to government and ask them to guarantee us profits for the next 30 years and force government agencies to use our products.
No, I mean, when you start up a business, the marketplace decides whether you'll make a profit or not, or you'll sell your product at a price in which the market determines.
And of course, that's tended to be the most efficient way that an economy operates. Now, for some reason, there was a special treatment accorded a very small group of individuals who have come into the independent power producers game here in the province. Although many of those projects were simply spun off to companies like General Electric and various different long-term investment groups. Mm-hmm. So the big money that was earned by the insiders was the flip, the time between the approval of the project and the launch, the acceptance, signing of, in effect, of that BC Hydro contract. That secured the marketplace, and then it just became a function of building the facility and flipping off the thing with a guaranteed profit for the next three decades.
So, Norm, what's the long-term impact if we continue to do this?
We can't continue to do that. Therefore, the only thing that can happen is for rates to catch up to the costs that have been taken on. And I calculate that over the next decade, we're going to have to increase BC Hydro rates from 125 to 175% in order to avoid losing money on the commitments that have been made. You have to remember that Site C is also coming on stream, and that's in all likelihood going to cost in around 12 cents a kilowatt hour, which again is more than double what the rate is to industrial users. And there's no demand at the residential level. So if you're going to subsidize the large industries, as they're proposing to do with Site C power, then they have to make it up with charging small businesses, commercial operations, and residential users.
It's interesting. I was reading a piece which you have on your link. You have on your website, I think. It's of David Bond, a retired economist living in Kelowna. He wrote a piece in the Daily Courier there, saying the premier should admit the LNG dream is dead. He points out that the LNG export strategy and Site C are likely to fail at great cost to taxpayers. And as an economist, he points out that Site C, even if it was built at $8 billion and it was on budget, which no project the Liberals have built has ever been on budget, no major project has ever been on budget, let's put it that way, it will have an annual interest cost of $260 million. And in order to recover that, that will have to be paid for by residential taxpayers.
He also makes the point that if you're going to spend this massive amount of money on building Site C, then you have to take it away from something else. So we're deferring construction projects on schools that need to be protected from the potential earthquakes. And so we have delayed those kinds of projects and other projects that are of value to the community in order to proceed with Site C.
But even if we did build Site C, let's say it was built for the $8 billion, we'd still have to buy this power from independent power producers because we're contractually obligated for at least 30 years.
That's correct. And what the government is hoping is that they can stimulate the use of electricity in the LNG facilities. The trouble with that is that the LNG prices have been dropping substantially, and they look like they're going to stay depressed for at least the near-term future. And so the likelihood of the LNG program proceeding as they had expected it to do is extremely remote.
Yeah, so you believe 125 to 175% increase in hydro rates over the next decade?
That's what I believe the residential users will face.
Yeah, and all hell will break loose once the announcement is made.
Well, I don't think they're going to announce it. I think they're hoping to, this current round of increases, I think it's 6% this year after 8% last year.
Yeah.
That's only the beginning, and it's not nearly enough to address their problems. But what they've been doing in order to create the appearance that BC Hydro is breaking even is that they've been deferring the various expenses that they have, so that right now there's a total of over $5.5 billion of deferred costs at BC Hydro. And those deferred costs are the term deferred expense in accounting is just to describe the payment that's been made but not reported as an expense until a future future accounting period. So when we start to recognize and do something about those deferred costs, that's going to require huge rate increases by itself.
Norm Farrell is our guest. He's the author of the blog Insights. We welcome your calls. We'll take a commercial break and come back.
Call us, 250-38.
Welcome back. Norm Farrell is our guest. He's the author of the blog Insights. And Norm, on your blog, you have a graph of BC Hydro's long-term debt. And around 2005 and 6, it starts to go up like a ski jump. And it's just astronomical, the amount of debt that has occurred since Christy Clark has become premier is just so dramatic when you look at this graph. What's the solution to this problem?
A solution is going to be really difficult to come by because many of these independent power contracts were put in place and cannot be changed, we think, regardless of market conditions. Now, that's something that I've complained about previously, is that the terms of the contracts are not fully disclosed, and those have a terrific impact. I don't quite understand why they are so committed to continuing to expand the independent power production. For example, in the first quarter of the current fiscal year, the monthly average purchases of private power was up 35% from just 2 years ago. If you look at 2014, that's been climbing dramatically as well. If you look at the growth of the BC Hydro debt, as you've done, you have to keep in mind that BC Hydro has been a cash cow for the province as well, and they have been drawing money steadily out of BC Hydro, and by using these deferred expenses that we talked about previously, that's allowed them to create phantom profits, and then they strip those phantom profits and move them into the government's general revenue so that they can pretend that they're having a surplus. Now, I calculated all of the money that's flowed from BC Hydro to governments since 2001, and it comes to almost $11 billion.
$11
billion? Since 2001. Now, BC Hydro has long-term debt right now of about $17 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And that has grown dramatically under the Christy Clark years since 2011. Now, if you really consider the logic of it, BC Hydro has given $11 billion to government over the course of since 2001, and its debt has gone up during that period of time by not as much as that, but if they hadn't paid the $11 billion today, instead of owing $17 billion in long-term debt, it would owe $7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I think you have to look at you have to consider that all of that money that they put over to government has been borrowed in BC Hydro.
Yeah, and when you look at the graph, I should just tell our listeners that in 1983, it was probably, I'm looking here, about $7 billion the government, BC Hydro owed. And it goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And then once you hit March of 2009, it starts to go up, and it just goes up dramatically.
It's almost a hockey stick, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost a hockey stick. And and you're right. If BC Hydro did not give the government the $11 billion, we'd still be around $7 billion, where it was in 1983.
Yeah, and they've used those flows of BC Hydro money, also other similar sorts of money from ICBC and so on, as ways of creating these false deficits. You borrow and stuff one pocket, and then you move the money out of that pocket into another pocket and say, look, we've really managed this so well, we've got extra money in this other pocket.
But you know, one of the things I've noticed with the federal election and even the provincial election, facts don't mean anything anymore. It's all about public relations, and it's all about perception. Facts are totally meaningless. In the legislature last week, for example, we got bluster from Christy Clark, who railed against the NDP for being against jobs. But if you look at the numbers, the job creation under her government has been the worst in 30 years. And the NDP's job numbers when they were in government have exceeded the Liberals on a month-to-month basis. And the problem is the NDP in opposition, in my opinion, has not been very vocal in its criticism of government or its pronouncements of what it would do when it was in government. When not only when it was in government, but if it becomes government again. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it is time to get much more serious and to get much tougher in terms of calling out the absence of facts in that are driving the policy. You say that the job creation has not been very good under the Liberals, but you know what? The number of jobs in public relations has grown quite dramatically because they spend so much time on spinning the facts. So that they become unrecognizable. And I've had great frustration as I've been reading through BC Hydro reports to find that the information that is really gives one a good understanding of how the corporation works is becoming harder and harder to get out of those reports. There's so much just public relations spin doctoring that's going on within the reports that it's hard to find the factual content.
Well, it's hard to get information out of government, period, even when you submit a Freedom of Information request. I had a friend who was talking to David Brodlin of Focus Magazine, which is a magazine locally here in Orem, and it took him a year and a half to get information from government through a Freedom of Information request, which he completely forgot about because it was just took so long he just gave up. I mean, it's stupid.
And
it's absolutely stupid.
Material is heavily redacted as well, so that
yeah.
It becomes useless when it does arrive.
Yeah. Okay, Norm, give me your prediction on the federal election.
I don't know. I've that's another situation. I went to a meeting at the Simon Fraser University downtown campus in Vancouver last night, and Michael Harris, an author who's wrote quite an interesting book about Stephen Harper. He was there, and he recounted a whole series of events that have gone on during the Harper regime. And you walk out just shaking your head and said, why doesn't this information get told? And it's just amazing. You know, some stories that related to the fact that he says that to Stephen Harper, words don't matter, and that they're quite willing to say anything, do anything. And I think that's something that's happened within Canadian politics, is that words have stopped mattering, that the people just talk and they don't believe they're bound by what they say.
Yeah. So do you think it will be a minority government, and you're not predicting which party?
I have a feeling that we're going to see a minority government, and that it's going to be a Liberal minority government.
A Liberal minority, interesting.
That's kind of what I'm seeing, because I think Justin Trudeau has survived all of the attacks that were put on by the Conservatives, and has looked as not an unreasonable leader. I'm troubled by some of the Liberal policies and the fact that a number of the people involved in the BC Liberals are also involved in the Federal Liberal Party.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have tended to talk about the Conservatives and the Liberals as being Tweedledum and Tweedledee. They're both corporate parties with overriding corporate interests.
Yeah. Norm, gotta go. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Norm Farrell.